Let's pray together. The joy of dawn is singing within my spirit. The joy of being in the presence of such a loving, lively, spirited group of friends is ringing in my spirit. The gratitude of being the child of a beautiful, creative, wonderful God sings in my spirit for myself and for all of us gathered. Thank you, God. Amen. So as it was getting to be time to come up to camp, there was something I'd kind of been procrastinating about. I don't suppose any of you procrastinate, right? No. But Dennis, you know, I just heard him mention this from time to time, and I pretended like I didn't hear it. But finally, the day before it was time to come, I thought, okay, I got to do it. I got to go out in the garden and pull up the garlic, because if we leave it for 3 whole weeks being watered, it's going to get moldy. So this, you know, we planted it some time ago. This is the time to pull up the garlic. Well, as I was pulling up the garlic, I was thinking about a story in my favorite Glenn Clark book, Fishers of Men. And here's the miracle about the garlic. You plant one measly little clove, and a few months later, you're digging around in this wet, muddy soil, and you pull up a whole bulb of garlic. That one little clove emerges into this fabulous bulb of garlic. Of course, it's filthy dirty right then. You gotta wash it off, but it's such a miracle. And I was thinking of this, is Harrison in here right now? I just loved Harrison's morning meditation this morning. And to me, this passage of Glenn Clark's in Fishes of Men speaks to me in the same, with the same energy as that bulb of garlic. Suppose you take an entire year to save one man, but because you have saved him so well, so completely, so utterly, so wholly, wholly, he becomes like you, another channel for also saving men. Then suppose that he and you each require another year to save another man each. But again, you save him so wholly, so completely, that he also becomes another channel of light for others. Then suppose the four of you spend another year each saving a man wholly and completely, bringing the total of your band to 8 reborn men. Now, just keep a record of your results for 33 years, or for the length of time Jesus lived upon this earth, and you will find that every man, woman, and child in the entire world will have been saved. Isn't that beautiful? 33 years. If we each could, just one person each year. Now, Glenn Clark uses a little different terminology than I might use, but this gives me hope. This gives me hope for our world, that if we really could just be loving so clearly and so in such a way that others want to be so loving as well. 33 years, well, I'm only going to be 103, you know? Maybe I'll make it. So I just really loved that, and I loved Harrison's sharing this morning. Can I move this up a little bit? Thank you. That's good, thank you. My first CFO camp was 1980 at Asilomar, and it was the first time that I had been in a prayer group, a prayer group that met every week. I mean, it was a first for me, and it really changed my life because I felt the power of being together in a small group, sharing from your heart, and coming into the center of the circle if you were so guided, laying on of hands of a small group of people. Just, you know, I think I wasn't from a very hands-on family. I was a hands-on neighborhood, but not from a hands-on family. It's just I was so moved and so touched and nourished by that. So I left that camp and I came home to my church and I said to my pastors, I need a prayer group. We didn't have a prayer group in the church, or at least not one that was open and welcoming and, you know, this is the date, this is the time, please come. So they said, that's a great idea. And I told them all about our prayer group. And there were actually two women in our church, Laurel Glass and Elizabeth Johnson, who were CFOers years back. They knew Glenn Clark. And so they came. And we had like about eight people who came to start with. And then we formed the core. And then everybody was welcome whenever they wanted to come. And it was just so beautiful. And we rotated leaders. Here's my point. This is my point. Set an intention and then commit to it. Put your energy there. Be willing to work toward the intention that you are guided to bring forth. Because it can make huge differences in your life and in the lives of others. And I set that intention. And so we rotated leadership. I was kind of the fallback person, but I was glad to be that. We started with a scripture reading, then we shared a little bit about how that scripture moved us and spoke to us. Then we reflected on that scripture. And then we just sat in silence around the circle, and whoever felt guided to share something, they shared. And if they wanted to take hands or come into the center of the circle, we did what they were guided to do. Then we went into silence again. And the next person, it wasn't going around the circle. It wasn't putting anybody on the spot. Nobody had to share. Nobody had to say a word. Some could come and just be there and be in silence. And it wasn't unusual that one would want to come into the circle, because I'll tell you, when you're with a group of people of a variety of ages, you're going to come across the full span of life experiences. The challenges in the marriage, the challenges with the children, the grief of the elders declining, the state of the world, the state of the church, the state of our souls. You gather people together and the full span comes forth over time. And then at the end, we all stood up, we stood in a circle with our arms around each other, and we, as we called it, we laid down our lives for one another. And we just went around the circle. And so let's say I'm starting, we say Marcia, and they just all lay down their lives for me in silence. And then when I feel filled and blessed, I say the name of the person next to me. And they can take as long as they want or need, because we're all opening to God's Spirit flowing through us to that person at that moment in time. It's very powerful. And we just go all the way around the circle, step by step, very slowly. And at the end, the person who was leading that night closes with a prayer. Changed my life. We did that for 10 years. We were together for 10 years. During those years, Carol Schifferling went into labor with Julia. Also, another very moving moment was when a member of our church, tearfully, he was a member of that prayer group every Sunday. But one Sunday, several years after the prayer group started, he tearfully came out to our prayer group and shared with us about his homosexuality and how he wanted to share with us because he knows we love him. He knows we love him totally and completely, and that we will continue loving him and uplifting him. So, I'm just telling you this because we're going to be leaving camp in a few days, and see how God guides you for intentions, for setting intentions in your life and then moving forward, for whatever it might be. After that 10-year period, there were two women and I who met for probably another 10 years every month, and we went to each other's homes. It was just a little trio. And we kind of followed the same pattern, but we still get together. They would like me to come from Placerville to San Francisco every month, and I can't do that. But when I'm there, we get together, and it's very beautiful. Oh yeah, another thing. We invited friends to CFO and to the East Bay CFO group, and so friends from our church had this experience, and some stayed with it, some weren't able to or didn't. But we had a pastor who was not a control freak. He was kind of a laid-back guy. And so we went to him and said, we had an 11 o'clock service, and we had this idea of having an 8:30 lay-led service. And there were like 12 of us who were willing to become the planning team. And we formed a fabulous lay-led service. And it was kind of like CFO. We had joyful singing, the kids were running all over, were playing rhythm instruments, and we had lay sharing every Sunday. A different person from the group, not just the planning group, but from the congregation, shared. This is where our little son, Carl, learned how to use this to manage the sound system. Well, that became his inroad for one of those jobs in New York City years later, because he could say, I ran the sound system at my church, and they even hired me to do weddings sometimes. He was about, I don't know, 8 or something when he started doing that. But so that was an intention that we had when we went home from camp. Can we bring this energy home to our church? And we did. It was fabulous. Now, the next minister wasn't quite so laid back. Lay-led service didn't quite fit his schematic. It was wonderful. So, my thought is, create what you are longing for. What are you longing for in your life? Think about it right now. What are you longing for? And how can you go home from this inspiring environment and begin to create what you long for in your life? I guarantee there are other people who are longing for the same thing. Once you share your longing, it will be shared, I'm sure. Maybe you realize from the little booklet that I shared that I have quite an expansive spirituality, and that enters into my prayer life. And I do want to share, I have till 10:15, right? Yeah. I do want to share just a few prayer modalities that really work for me, that I just love. And I enjoy visiting other traditions, churches and gatherings of other traditions. And one of the that is used by many traditions is following your breath, just breathing, being aware of your breath, and following your breath. Think of breath, think of respiration, think of inspiration, think of spirit, and inspire. That S-P-I-R is part of it. Just become aware of your own breathing. And feel that energy enriching your body. Now, as you exhale, hold that space for a moment before you inhale again. Some traditions call that moment the sweet space. That sweet space between the exhale and the inhale. I love that. This is something I practice. Like when I walk down by the river, I'll find a rock and I will just breathe. I will breathe. And if God brings something to my mind, or if something rises up that I want to be more specific about, then I'll be open to that. So Jesus said, "There is no greater love than this, that you lay down your lives for another." Well, there's one, this is a prayer pattern that I have. This is especially when I'm in bed, going to sleep or waking up in the morning. I'll think of somebody that I know, that I have a connection with, and I will breathe with them, because I know they're breathing someplace. They're not right next to me, unless it might be Dennis, but they're breathing too. And I just enter into the rhythm of my breathing and uplift them as they are breathing. It's a simple thing. It's a simple thing. I'm laying down my life for my son, Carl. I breathe with him. I open to God's healing love and peace flowing through me to him as we're breathing together. Think of somebody right now that is dear to you. Just close your eyes and just realize they are breathing too. Affirm God's fullness with them. Amen. When visiting a Buddhist community, one of the prayer patterns that the Buddhists have is the Om. It's the Om. It's just a single word which means the divine. And someone will start this, they'll choose a pitch, and everybody gathers in on the same pitch, and this Om just continues for a while. And I'd like to open, this is the divine, this is God. I'd like to open to this right now. If you're comfortable, just join my pitch and just keep the Om, and we'll just rest with this for a minute or two. Om, and breathe when you need to breathe. Om. Thank you, God, for your spirit, your divine spirit, uniting us together in harmony and in love, in synchronicity. I went to a Sufi gathering the whole evening. Of course, the women were cooking and the women were serving, and the male sheikh was sharing. It was a lovely, lovely gathering, and they have a chant, and the chant, the meaning of this chant is, there is only God. There is only God. And as the women were chanting this, and they do it 100 times, they say this, and they keep count on their fingers, first their fingertips, then the first knuckle, then the middle knuckle, and everybody, the women are kneeling and doing this together, kind of swaying, and nobody's counting out loud, but they know exactly where they are because they're keeping on their fingertips. And they just say this over and over, and as they are saying this, the men are in a circle and starting, they kind of circle around very slowly, and in time, in the course of that 100 repetitions, they go faster and faster and faster till they're like a whirling dervish. And the women are still kneeling and chanting this. It's, there is only God. It's, la ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. Join me. La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. Kind of sway. La ilaha illallah. 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 Isn't that beautiful and musical and just welcoming God's spirit within? There is only God. La ilaha illallah. And of course, I love the be still and know I am God. Sometimes if I have trouble getting to sleep at night, that's what I sing in my own heart. Takes me sometimes a few rounds to get to sleep, but have you ever thought about creating your own chants? C-H-A-N-T-S? Yes, You create your own chance. Okay. I like to create my own chance too, about whatever is stirring within me. I'll create a chant, and maybe I'm taking a walk, or maybe I'm in my own meditation time, and I'll chant my own created chant. So I encourage you, we're free. We're free. We could open to what we are guided to do. I have a few little snippets here, and then I'm going to kind of change thoughts. I think a lot of you know Elizabeth Hewitt, right? Nancy's mom, Nancy Bradley's mom. Well, I met her years ago at the Asilomar CFO, and then she moved to Half Moon Bay, which where I had lived, so I loved to go from San Francisco down the coast to Half Moon Bay, and I would love to visit Elizabeth, because she'd always have the teapot on or some sweet little thing she'd baked, and we might take a little walk or have a little prayer time. Well, she broke her hip, and she was in a rehab center in Pacifica nearby. And so, I went to visit her. And she got a cut on her finger. And she showed me this cut. And she said, "I'm so glad I got this cut on my finger." I said, "Elizabeth, what do you mean? Why are you glad that you got a cut on your finger?" And she said, "Well, I can look at it every day and see that it's healing. I can't look at my hip and know that it's healing, but I can look at the cut on my finger and know that it's healing and know that my hip is healing too." I love that Elizabeth story. Ram Dass says, "Healing is not the same as curing, after all. Healing does not mean going back to the way things were before, but rather allowing what is now to move us closer to God. Healing is not the same as curing, after all. Healing does not mean going back to the way things were before, but rather allowing what is now to move us closer to God." Okay, I love to, you know this about me, sometimes scripture just moves me to create a song. Well, Dennis has had a request, and so Dennis, let's do that request. And it's a song called "One Thing Is Necessary." It's the Mary and Martha story, which I need to absorb into my own being, Mary and Martha's story. So the chorus is very simple, and it starts with the chorus, and some people know it. And Dennis, you want to just give us a... Okay, that's good. I'm going to sing the chorus for you, and you'll learn. It's, "One thing is necessary, one thing is necessary, one thing is necessary, what could it be? Stop your fussing and fighting, 'cause one thing is necessary, one thing is necessary, what could it be?" That feels a little bit high, Dennis. Can you make it a little bit? That feels too high. Can you make it a little bit lower? "Stop your fussing and fretting" is what it is. So let's do that again. It's, "One thing is necessary, one thing is necessary, one thing is necessary, what could..." Stop your fussing and fretting, 'cause one thing is necessary, one thing is necessary, what could it be? Mary was quietly kneeling near Jesus, listening with all of her heart, while Martha begrudgingly did all the tasks. When Jesus said tenderly, "Martha, Martha, one thing is necessary, one thing is necessary, one thing is necessary, what could it stop your fussing and fretting? 'Cause one thing is necessary, one thing is necessary. Be when you are troubled or angry or lonely and pressures are getting you down, draw closer to Jesus and listen to him with all of your heart as he gently shows you what one thing is necessary, one thing. We need to remember, you know, we get fussing and fretting and worrying and thinking, oh my gosh, how am I going to get through today? And you know, honestly, if there's a Bible verse or something that you love, just let it come forth, however it might come forth, in song, in poetry, in creative writing, in beautiful colors, whatever is your creative inclination, put your scripture to it. It really makes it real, and you don't forget it. Okay. So, I came that you might have life in all its fullness. Jesus came that we might have life in all its fullness. What is fullness of life for us? What is fullness of life for me? I want to be full in life, in body, in mind, in spirit, and in loving service. We can give thanks to our dear parents who brought us forth into this world as embodied beings. Here we are. We are embodied. And this is part of our fullness of life. I remember when Dennis and I were wanting to have a child, we were not all that quickly fertile. And you notice we only had one child. We would have enjoyed another one or two. But anyway, we prayed. We really were looking forward to having a child, and then the time came that I got pregnant. And Carl was in utero, and so I sang to him every day. I sang, all things bright and beautiful, all creatures great and small, sing it with me, all things wise and wonderful, the Lord God made them all, if you know it. Each, maybe this is another melody, right? Okay. All things bright and beautiful, all creatures great and small, all things wise and wonderful, the Lord God made them all. Each little flower, each little flower that blossoms, each tiny bird that sings, he made. Well, Carl got that in utero every day, and then the day came, and I'm having some contractions, and Dennis is driving me to the hospital, and bless his heart, he is such a good man. With every contraction, I made him pull over. You know, the Lamaze thing. So he pulled over, and so then the contraction passed, and he drives a little farther, a little faster. And anyway, we made it. I think I had read this in some book. But anyway, Carl came forward. He was placed on my chest, and I sang, "All things bright and beautiful." He was familiar with that song. He knew that song within the utero. Now he knew it outside the utero. So if you find yourself with child sometime, choose a song that you love and share it with that precious little being growing inside of you. I know it might sound kind of silly, but I'll have to extend this talk a little bit into Friday morning, but we were on vacation a year and a half ago. We were on a ferry boat in a river, and according to my perception, there was a very misplaced small platform in this ferry boat, and I stumbled over it. And my foot immediately was in extreme pain, and I couldn't even get off the boat at the end where we were supposed to get off the boat. And I just said, "Take me back." You know, Dennis and friends just stayed there because I said, "Just stay here. They were going to have lunch, and I'll be fine. I'll just go back in the boat and I'll wait at the where we started." Anyway, the long and short of it is, I got to go to emergency in another country, which was kind of interesting. And the good news is, it wasn't broken. It was just a sprained ligament in the bottom of my foot. But it hurt for a long time. And even after we got home, it hurt. And then shortly after that, I was walking down a little slope on our property, and I slipped, and I hurt my knee. So now my left foot hurt, and my right knee hurt. And that had never happened to me before. So I called my doctor, I went in to see her, and she said, "I think a little physical therapy would be good for you at this point." I had never been to physical therapy. I went to the most wonderful physical therapist. She not only looked at my foot and my knee, she gave me a whole body, you know, all these motions, can you do this, can you do that? It was just fabulous. And then she gave me exercises. And I've been doing those exercises faithfully for a year and a half, and I'm not going to stop. My knee feels great. My foot feels great. But I did realize that my foot and my knee are carrying my whole body. And if I really wanted them to feel their best, it might be best if they weren't carrying around quite so much. So I decided to just make slight changes in my diet, because I didn't want to do anything radical, but I just thought, if I can still enjoy what I'd like to enjoy, I'd like that handful of dark chocolate chips every afternoon, you know, I wasn't going to give up. So I did that. That was a little over a year ago. Actually, it's been about 16 months, I think. And also, Dennis and I read an article. We got a freebie in the mail, the Reader's Digest. You know, I used to read that as a kid. Anyway, we got this freebie, and I'm looking through it. It's much different now. But there was an article that's called, "You Are When You Eat." You are when you eat. And this was a new idea to us. I mean, I used to have crackers and milk every night before I went to bed, just like my mom used to give me, you know. And so the theory is, you take a 12-hour fast in the dark hours. So it could be, you know, like 7 in the evening till 7 in the morning, or 6 in the evening till 6 in the morning, whenever it might be. And you only drink water, no coffee, no nothing except water. And and then during the daylight hours, when our bodies are meant to be processing all of our food, you can still eat, you know, you don't overdo it. But anyway, between those two plans of lightening up the carbohydrates and having a basically 12-hour fast, Here, it's more like 11 because of afterglow. I mean, I got to have a cookie. I said to Dennis that first night, I was so proud I didn't have a cookie. And he said, you're not going to have a cookie on afterglow. So now I have like a, I don't know, maybe a 9-hour fast. But it's been really good for me. And I feel like it's been good for my body, too. So I will share more with you about my physical and spiritual and mindful growth on Friday. And at this moment, I simply want to affirm the fullness of life that is within and around and through all of us, and the beauty and miracle that each person here is unique. You are unique in all the world. We are each unique in all the world. What a gift. Thank you, God. Thank you for giving us life. Thank you for giving us one another. Thank you for giving us your assurance of what comes beyond this life. We are grateful. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, Spirit. Amen.
Marcia reminded me of a rhythm that Ann Allen passed on to us long ago of breathing. Right? So a Trinitarian breathing rhythm. So you just breathe in deeply through your nose and out through your mouth. And first we breathe in God, the Heavenly Parent. And we breathe out love. You can remember that because God is love. And then breathe in Christ. And breathe out light. Because Jesus is the light of the world. And then breathe in the Holy Spirit. And breathe out life. Let's do that again. Very deep breaths. Breathe in God, our Heavenly Parent. And breathe out love. Breathe in Christ. And breathe out light. And breathe in the Holy Spirit. And breathe out life. And since it's Trinitarian, let's do it one third time. Breathe in God, our Heavenly Parent. And breathe out love. Breathe in Christ, and breathe out light, and breathe in the Holy Spirit, and breathe out life. This is our day of stunt night and dancing, and we'll be dancing on the rhythms field. Come and join us.